So basically, what we've been looking at as a church is sort of a 5M principle of our church. So we looked at, recently we looked at magnification, so that was a couple of weeks ago, and we looked at how we live our lives to give praise and glory to God. We are people who are made by God, and part of our created being that we are, we give glory to our God who created us. And we do this because we experience His love and grace towards us. And then last week we looked at mission. We looked at finding our purpose in life, and we discovered that our purpose is actually God's agenda, not our own, and Jesus' mission is actually our mission, and then we find our life wrapped in that. So today we're going to look at membership and partnership, and how if we are in Jesus, we all belong into His community. Each of us belong into a community which He calls the church. Not just this church, but any church that claims Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, Lord as Redeemer. But there is a sense of a local church that we belong to. So I think in culture we are very much looking for a place to belong. We're looking for a sense of community, and yet I think in our search we struggle to find that. You would probably do some research in Google or different statistics, and you'd probably find that our culture, all of us are a bit sort of, feel a bit alone. We've got this whole network of ways that we can connect with each other through Facebook, all the different social medias, but in that we're still feeling alone. We still feel a bit distant. We find it hard to have meaningful community, meaningful friendships, relationships. And the church is God's design for a meaningful place to belong, a place that is not always easy to belong to. It's hard work belonging to a church. And it's not because it's a great place to belong, but it's not great because we're all awesome people. We belong because we have an awesome God. We have an awesome Jesus. We belong because He's a loving God. So we are people in a church, in a gathering of people that come from all different backgrounds, all different traditions, all different values, but we all come together as one people in Jesus, not just because here today, but when we belong into the church community, we're one people. Now, I think that's hard work. And I think it is hard work because I know that when I first got married, Kath and myself, we were two different people from two different traditions and backgrounds, and we had to learn in marriage how to work that out. How to work and live with someone who's completely different than me. She's female, I'm male. She comes from New South Wales, from Barrel, a little bit different way of speaking than Swan Hill, a bit more classier. So I had to work that out, you know. So there's things that you had to work out. She had a different family structure, a different value system. I come from a single home. She come from a family of just mum and dad who are just great parents. So it's hard enough for us to work that out, let alone add it to 20, 30 people in a gathering of people that Jesus calls one people. It's hard work. So don't expect it to be easy work being in a church. It's in fact a fellowship that's messy and very different. And it's a diverse unity that's not normally seen in our culture, in our life. So today I want to give sort of three New Testament snapshots of what community looks like, what being part of a community, being a member of Jesus' church, being a partner. And I want to be cautious because what tends to happen in the Bible is we tend to sometimes miss the big picture and we get involved in all the little pictures, and that's where we have all our struggles. But if we get the big picture, we get focused on what it's all about, and then little pictures just fill itself in along the way. So I think that the church in history has shown that it's really struggled with the big picture. A lot of times we get stuck in the little picture. Okay, so the area of unity has been a real struggle in churches. That's why we've got so many different denominations. We've struggled in the little things, not the big purpose, not the big idea of what Jesus wants to be about. And so Jesus has called us into His body to be one church, one people, a church that's made up of different parts, different people. So we read already Philippians 1, 3 to 11. I'm going to read that again. It talks about partnership, so I'm going to read that. I thank my God, it's in your newsletter, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defence and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I mean, here's the Apostle Paul writing to this early church, and he's excited about the result of the gospel, the result of people knowing about Jesus, that has transformed these people into his little community of people, all one in Jesus. These people were once outside of God's family, but now they've been adopted into his family. And Paul's in prison because of the gospel, yet he's excited as a result of the gospel. And he's prayerful over these gathering of people, and not just here, not just in Philippi, but right throughout the region where he was a missionary for the gospel. And so church is a community. It's a family. But what does it mean? What does it look like? How does Jesus want us to see our connection in ourselves to his church? Well, Paul describes it as partnership. I think this is great. We have what we call in the church partnership. We do a partnership sort of course. But the church is made up of people in partnership together. And the word fellowship, if you go through the Bible, most of the time the word fellowship is actually partnership. So sometimes we think of fellowship as having a cup of tea together, but it's actually a lot deeper than that. It's a lot deeper. Fellowship is partnership. So real Christian fellowship is actually living in partnership together. Now, it's interesting that Paul uses that term to describe the community of God's people, because the original readers would have known this. We struggle because of the original Greek, so we don't know how to translate it. But the original readers would have known. For them, it was going in business together. Just like we have partnership in business, those who are in Christ are in partnership together. There's a sense of ownership. And often we think of church as like a social club, that you come along and meet friends, you know, or, you know, it's a place where friendships are made. That's good. There's nothing wrong with making friendships. We want to make friendships. But here Paul is saying it's partnership in Jesus. And there's a big difference about being friends and partners. You see, you can be friends with the guy that's got the cafe down the road, okay? And you can be really nice to him. You can be really happy. You can enjoy the cup of coffee. But if he upsets a customer, you don't care. If he's starting to go bad, business is going bad, or he's starting to struggle, you may care a little bit, but it doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect you because you're not a partner. You're a consumer. If we're partners, then our attitude changes. We have a different way to view our belonging to God's community. Because what affects each person here affects us. What happens by one person affects the other person. And so the church is about partners together. What we do affects others and it affects Jesus. And sometimes we might think like, you know, church is a bit like following the AFL. You know, though we're not playing the game, you say that the team won in the weekend, but you're really just a spectator. Being a partner in Jesus means you're playing the game. It means you're actually playing the game rather than sitting in the grandstand. We're in business together for Jesus. It's family business. And you know what? We share all the blessings of Jesus. Through Christ, we share in all his blessings and we have our part to play. We're part of a team. So when does someone become a partner? How do we become a partner? It's very simple. Verse 5, it says it. Verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So the day you started believing in Jesus, you became a partner in the church. Whether you know it or not, that's what Paul is saying. That's what Jesus is saying through Paul. You became a partner in the church. It started when you started living your life for Him. Now, verse 6 clearly tells us that none of us are perfect. Rather, we're all a work in progress. We're all Christ's workmanship. We're all in progress. But the moment we've trusted Jesus, the moment that we did that, we're joined to God's family. We're joined to His church. And that doesn't necessarily mean this church, but there's a global church that we belong to that honours Jesus. We are partakers in the same mission, same ministry as Jesus, just as Paul is in this letter he's speaking. This means there's no solo team positions available. We're not playing golf. You know, you can't be in partnership unless there's other people on board. And so we find our place in the local church. That's where we partner together for Jesus. And I can't think of a better mission to be on board with than Jesus' mission. And we looked at that last week, and unfortunately I can't get it online for those who did miss it, because it's got this like static going through it. But we saw that Jesus' mission is our mission. We belong to Jesus. We're part of His big global mission. And Paul was excited about this mission, excited about the community. He had affectionate love for this community, and he holds them dear in their heart. And we should be holding each other dear in our hearts as we're partakers in that same mission. Not simply friends, but partners living with a purpose. Teamwork, helping each other. So what does a church look like? I've been thinking about this a little bit. I don't know how well this is going to go, so bear with me. But I've been thinking about the church as, let me see that, this is very primitive. I couldn't find any clear bowl, but I've been thinking about the church as being a bit like a salad bowl. Okay, it's a bit sad. I'm not going to try and reference who's who, okay, or what denomination's denomination, okay. But you know, you've got the salad, you've got your lettuce. You can see I make salads. This is like, you know, MasterChef here. Okay. And then you've got to put a bit of like baby spinach to make that look a bit more interesting. Chuck that in. And then we got the tomatoes. I didn't chop them because I want to use them. Because that's how tight I am. Got cucumber. Okay. So I thought of tomatoes. Maybe they're the ones that are really passionate about the gospel, about Jesus, because they are martyred, you know, for the gospel. Sorry, that's pretty sad, isn't it? And then I thought about mushrooms. They're the introverts, you know. I just wondered about that. Maybe the visionaries for carrot. I don't know. Hey, there you go. All in the salad bowl. It's a bit of a mixed bunch, isn't it? But you think about it. It looks a bit boring just having a bowl of salad of lettuce. Let us pray. I was thinking of the one that's just got, you know, just always there. But yeah, anyway. I don't know. Look, it's just an illustration. Don't take it too seriously. Isn't there? Come on. Don't jump ahead about the oil. But you can see that there's this mixture of difference of people, different things. And in life, don't we normally gravitate to people that we have similarities to? Like if you like pubs, then you probably don't hang out with people who drink tea and do like high teas and stuff like that and have scones. You just don't, it doesn't sort of go. Or if people like sports, they tend to not hang out with like people who like reading like me. I mean, they might hang out a little bit, but they don't tend to say, let's go and read a book together, unless it's on sport maybe. And then you've got a lawyer. You know, you think about the academic level of lawyer. Well, he doesn't normally hang out with railway workers. You know, is that sort of extreme? So in life, we tend to gravitate. Normally, you probably find most of your friendships are probably based on similarities. You know, you're both tomatoes or whatever it is. You know, so a lot of life is we gravitate to that. And we make friends because of people of their similar interests. But with Jesus in a church, it's a gathering that's of difference. He gathers His church as a mixture of all sorts. Now, I thought about, you know, you've got the salad bowl, you can have chocolate, then you're going to think about Forrest Gump, because it's going to go for your head, life's like a box of chocolates. But, you know, it's a community of people who really do look messy. A bunch of people who are partnering together for Jesus, and like verse 6 says in that Philippians one, that we're all a work in progress. But what tends to happen is sometimes we try to make church not what Jesus wants it to be, but what we think it should be. And so we try and make it like we try and stack the tomatoes. So we go, if you want to be a tomato, you got to come over here and be a tomato. Come join the tomato group. You know, and if you're a cucumber, and you go, well, I don't look like a tomato, we'll just soak you with tomato sauce, so at least you taste like it. And sometimes we do that, don't we, as Christians? We try and mould people into what we think someone should be rather than what Christ wants them to be. And we squeeze tomato sauce over everyone because that's what we are. At least you can fit in. But we've got to hold tight. We've got to see what Jesus wants us to be. We're a mixed salad bowl. We're a messy bunch. And I think that's great. Because if that's what Jesus wants it to be, I think it's a great thing. And we need to hold tight. So in this messiness, we still need to hold tight to what Jesus holds tight. We still need to hold our unity for what Jesus wants us to fight for in his gospel. We need to honour his design of the church. But we're a messy bunch. Yet we honour Jesus in all that we do. So we make sure that Jesus is greater than our traditions or our mere opinions. And that traditions don't get in the way of people knowing Jesus, because we want people to be part of this messy salad bowl. How does Paul describe the church in Galatians 3? Have a listen to this. He says, this is our second Bible passage. It's in your newsletter. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Just have a think about that passage. I mean, you may not understand it fully if you don't understand much of the culture in that time. But the Jews and the Greeks, they were complete opposites culturally. They were complete opposites culturally. The Jews had their traditions and their laws, and the Greeks, they had their idols and their philosophy. And now, in Jesus, they are completely new people. They're not two separate people. It's not group A and group B. They are one in Christ through Christ. One in Christ through Christ. Whether they grew up knowing about God or whether they grew up worshipping false gods, they now are one in Christ. They are equal together. They are one with him. They belong to the family. This was the biggest struggle in the early church that Paul fought for. And if you read the letters, that is what Paul is fighting for. The unity and diversity of the church. What seems impossible culturally happens with Christ. It happens when people are transformed by Jesus. People who are cultural enemies who wouldn't hang out together all of a sudden are hanging out together. And it stood out. You got the slave and the free. Completely different social classes in culture. Let's say you had an ex-addict and an accountant, both hanging out in the same social scenes. It doesn't normally happen. But here in the church, here in God's church, here in this early church, people were hanging out that shouldn't normally hang out. And they were equal partners in the gospel. In the early church, they would have had this mixture of a few strict religious Jewish guys who maybe were part of the synagogue. And then you would have had some other Jewish people. Then you would have probably had a few slaves, maybe an ex-prostitute, a few tradies, a few Roman soldiers. This would have been the early church. This would have been what it was like. All worshipping God together, neither considering one better than the other, but all equal in Jesus. Then there was the male and female equality. Often, sometimes, as culture puts this label on Christianity, like it suppressed women for our culture. But if you actually get into the historical period of this, the actual Christianity liberated women. Culturally, women were considered less than men, most likely treated like dirt just for sexual pleasure, definitely not equal to a man. Both the Greeks and Jews had this same idea. They were no way considered equal, yet Jesus changes this. Men and women are partners together in the gospel. The gospel builds unity and equality for all. And I think that's great. We see this here, a transformation. Need a drink. And it takes us right back to Genesis. It takes us right back to God's design in Genesis 2. Eve was described as an ally to Adam, a teammate. A teammate. You know, how often does our marriages seem more like a competitive sport against each other, trying to win each other rather than a team? Something to think about. But here we see that there's a diverse unity in this whole passage of people who wouldn't have normally been considered one, and they would have stood out in culture. It would have stood out like a lighthouse that broke through cultural barriers, all because of Jesus. Jesus captures our heart and makes and gives us this beautiful new community to belong to. And it's good news. It's a beautiful community. It's good news because, you know what, it's not me that's in charge of it. Jesus is. Jesus is Lord over it. It's not based on culture or race or social class or gender, but Jesus being one in Christ. And the church community should look like a salad bowl of different people, but you know what should bind it together? I don't know if this is theologically correct. Oil. You all got a bit of a taste of Christ. You're all different, yet all one in Christ. Jesus has saturated you. So yeah, we taste the tomato, but we also taste Christ. All of us one in Christ. That's why at Seed, what you'll hear about is Jesus. We want you to know Jesus. We want you to love Jesus. And if you want to know more about Jesus, come and talk to us, because we'd love to tell you about Jesus. It's a community that walks and grows in Christ. And we are all different parts in that. We're all different by design. I'm going to read the last Bible passage. We're getting to the end, so sort of. So just hang in there. Ephesians 4:1-7. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Do you see the oneness there that we all share as partners together in Jesus? We're all members of one body. We're all sharing one Holy Spirit. We all have one Jesus, one faith, one hope, baptism. We have so much in common. And we're all to bear with one another in love. A community, like you said earlier, Roger, about the humility and patience and gentleness, because we're all God's workmanship. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 describes a church as a body. Isn't that a great idea, great way to explain it? Made up of many different parts. Each part of the body is needed. No part is designed to be independent. The hand needs the arm. And the arm needs the heart to function. For just as, this is verse 12 in 1 Corinthians 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, so that all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. You know, we all belong together, one body, one unity together. Jesus has brought us into the body because we are needed. We are needed. Sometimes we have the problem that we don't feel valued as people. That we don't like our place in the body. And we believe that maybe Jesus has got it wrong. That we should be different. But the key is Jesus. The key is Jesus. We don't need to compare ourselves to other people. Compare one member to the other. God has made us different for a reason. We need to be thankful for that. By grace it was given to you. Hands, feet, ears, all have a role to play. We're all part of the salad bowl. Maybe sometimes as part of that body you feel the shame, that you feel like you're not good enough to be a member of the body, but we're all works in progress. Jesus has, through the cross, declared us okay if we believe in him, have faith in him, that he is our Lord. If you're in Jesus, you belong, you're part of that family. So we've got to trust Jesus' voice over our own voice, over the voice of Satan that would tell us you don't belong. No, Jesus says, I've made you right to belong. Doesn't matter about your past or present or future, guilt and shame, Jesus has dealt with that. And I know that no one here can put up their hand and say, I haven't sinned this week. We're all guilty. We all need each other to grow. We all need to be encouraged. We need to be real people in Jesus who are honest about ourselves. Free to say we struggle. You know what it also says in 1 Corinthians 12, in 26, it said, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoiced. You know, there's a rejoicing and there's a mourning. That when we do struggle, it affects the body. When we rejoice, it affects the body. You know, last week I spoke about a battleship, okay? It's completely off the syllabus, it's gone to a different level now. But I talk about the battleship and about how our mission is like being on a battleship, not a cruise liner. Sometimes in life we want the cruise liner, we want someone to serve us drinks, to have it cozy. And as we're all on the battleship together, we're all a bit of medics. You know, you play those computer games and you get a medic pack? We're all medics. We're all rescuing rebels, but we're helping our comrades together. Like you said, Roger and Martin, about the iron sharpens iron. We're all in it together. So what we do is if we see a member get hit, if we're fighting a battle, we see a member get hit, we want to help them. We're all equipped to do some basic things. We want to assist a member, assist a partner, because we want everyone to be healthy. We want everyone to grow. And yet sometimes we're not very good at that. All I can think about is, you ever seen an A-team and the guy tries to stitch it up? The guy when he cuts and he tries to do a stitch up, it was really messy. And sometimes we try to help and we do mess things up. But we need to be humble in our approach. And sometimes that's hard work. Sometimes we don't always get it right. But we need to be forgiving each other. We're all trying to do our best for Jesus, and it's a challenge. And sometimes we need to say, look, I know you're struggling with this and I struggle with that. Let's pray about it. Let's start working through things. With all our differences, it's hard to be a body. And I think one of the most biggest problems is when we're a mushroom or a lettuce, we start rubbing up against each other and we get a little annoyed because they're not like us. So we withdraw or we attack. And it's so very easy to take our eyes and minds off Jesus and take our eyes and minds off the mission. And instead of fighting as a team, with the battleship, we start fighting each other on the battleship. And at that moment, we just take our eyes off the mission and everything just goes off course. And we just start losing it. And it just becomes an even worse mess. And we've seen that happen in churches. We've seen that happen in other community groups that can do even similar things. But we are all partners together for Jesus. Members of the same body, we can't afford to start hurting each other on team. We can't afford to hurt our teammates. That doesn't mean we're passive or non-challenging. We want all to grow. That means we speak the truth in love. We tell people what Jesus would say in the way Jesus would say it. So you can't love our God. You can't love the God who saved us and not want to be like him. Jesus' love compels us to love others and to see people differently. It's not a place for hate and envy, but a place for love and growth. We all stuff up. We all stuff up. But we need to move on and forgive. Or we need to go and talk to that person that hurts us. We need to be a loving community that's, you know, when you get cut, you want the wound to heal quickly. You want to get on with it. You want it to heal quickly. We don't want to get the hand poking around in the foot when it's got a wound. We want to be healing it quickly. So being a community that's messy with people who are different means there's going to be tensions and struggles always until Jesus returns. But it's Jesus' love that compels us. We're partners together for him. So what does it mean being a member of the body? What does it look like in a community of everyday people? Well, Jesus is the head. He's the one we follow. We need to all grow and encourage and serve each other in unity. We don't do this out of self-interest, but love with humility, like we've said. Jesus came to serve, so we serve each other in love, in a body, in his community. Jesus wants us to grow knowing him more, so we partner with other people so that they will know Jesus more. Maybe that's a one-to-one study. Maybe that's a prayer. Time of prayer. Encouragement afterwards. Inviting them around for lunch or tea. We want to get to know people. We want to celebrate and cry together. We want to serve and use our abilities as members of his community that are all partnering together under Jesus as King. And we're going to be eager about that. Eager. It shouldn't be, do I have to? But I'd love to. I would love to. Now, you can always say no. No's are good. But let the no be because I'm serving elsewhere with my abilities. Not no because I don't want to commit. Or no because I just want to default to laziness. Or I'm too busy with other commitments. We all need a bit of time on our own. I know that, seriously. But we want to give Jesus our best. Because God gave us his best. He gave the best for us. That means when we set up, we want it to look the best we can. It doesn't have to be perfect. We want to put our effort in. When we put out the sign, I liked the sign this morning. It was really done really nice. It was just perfectly done. You know, we want to do that. You know, because we want to honour Jesus. We want to have people know Jesus. And it's okay to have a rest. That's what we want in life. But why are we exhausted for the right things? You know, each week I preach, and I don't do it because I like hearing my voice. I preach because I want each of you to grow and know Jesus more. You know, I've already got the application halfway during the week. It's just the rest of it's articulate into a sermon. That's the hard bit. I've already got the application. And that's, we all need to serve. We all have a place in the kingdom. We all have a place in the cell, a place in the body. And that means we also struggle in the community because we aren't a perfect bunch. And sometimes we struggle with that tension, that friction, even sometimes if we are the introvert. You know, for me, the perfect life would be living at Coorong Bookstore. Okay, that would be the ideal life. It's got a coffee shop. It's got a playground for the kids. Me and Kath, kids, that would be bliss. That would be awesome. Just reading books all day, going on whatever shelf. The kids could read books too. But you know what? When I come to see Jesus and I read about Jesus and I know this Jesus, I'm challenged by his calling on my life into his community that belongs to him to serve others. I realise that Jesus could have stayed in eternal comfort. God existed already in a community in himself. There's a God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. But in love he chose to come and die for me. So that through him I'd be a new person and I'd also share life with him and his new community. We don't go to church just because we need to or because we like the music, but because we're all partners together for Jesus. We're all people that are one together. We're all in the cellar bowl, not by our choice or my choice, but Jesus. With all the joys and struggles, that's what Jesus wants us to be. Because it shows something special to our culture. It shows the diversity and the unity that Jesus brings. That makes an attractive community, not just on Sundays, but as we gather and scatter, we reflect Jesus to all people. We are people who are different, who partner together as one. We do this at Seed, and Jesus wants to be part of you to be part of the team. Part of that team. What do you think Jesus would say to you right now? What is Jesus saying to you? Do you want to give Jesus your best as his member, or just take it easy? Are you on the battleship or looking for the cruise liner? Jesus calls us not to be a spectator or withdraw, but to see life as he calls it, partnering with him in his community. From the day you believed, you're on Jesus' team. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are gracious. Thank you that you have made it possible for us to experience the perfect community that you want. Not that it's perfect by its nature of who it is, but perfect by the way that you want it to be, that we're all unified in Jesus, that it is good and healthy for us to be one in you, Lord. Help us to be that, we pray. Help us to be stirred by your words, that we would strive and be eager to do this, we pray, through Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Can have a cup of coffee and a break and...